last few weeks, we've gotten to listen to lighthearted topics like murder and adultery and divorce. I don't know what Pastor Steve was complaining about, getting to preach on such pleasant, hope-filled topics in the week surrounding Christmas. Really, though, he did a great job, and we've gotten to hear some sermons on some difficult topics filled with truth and hope and wisdom. And man, am I relieved to have gotten this passage instead. So before we really get into it today, let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together as your body, to hear your word, and to let ourselves be reminded once again of who you are and who we are. Thank you for this body of believers. Open our hearts and minds that we may hear what it is that you have for us this morning. It's through your Son's precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. So this passage is one of those that can seem a little odd when you first read it. I remember one of my first times really considering this passage was when I was in college. I became a Christian when I was a junior in high school and hadn't really spent any time reading the Bible before then. And so here I was in college really considering it and thinking, so what does Jesus have against oaths here? And does this mean that I shouldn't say the Pledge of Allegiance? You know, or hey, is this going to get me out of jury duty then? You know, you have to swear an oath at the beginning. But in case you were also wondering about that jury duty question, let me be the bearer of bad news and say that unfortunately, no, Jesus did not have in mind helping you get out of jury duty when he was speaking against oaths here. And so let's talk a little bit about the context. Oaths aren't something that were forbidden in the Old Testament. And in fact, we see God make oaths to his people. Oaths are even used by Paul in the New Testament. The only kind of oaths that were forbidden in the Mosaic Jewish law were false oaths. Oaths were meant to show that someone was really serious about what they were saying. But then for people, it started turning into this game of loopholes and legalism. People would say that if you swore an oath by Jerusalem and you didn't honor it, that wasn't being deceitful, that wasn't lying. But if you swore an oath toward Jerusalem and didn't honor it, well then you were a liar. You, many of us played this game as kids, right? Where we would tell someone something outrageous, like, I am gonna give you $1 million. And our friend would kind of challenge back, like, no, I don't believe you. And we would say, I will, I promise. And then they'd be like, well, I mean, if you promise, then I believe you. Wow, $1 million, I'm gonna be rich. And then we'd pull our hand out from behind our back and be like, ha ha, our fingers were crossed, doesn't count. And, you know, it's just kind of this silly, childish game. But adults who profess to love and honor God were doing basically the same thing with promises that mattered. And so instead of oaths and their word being meaningful and deepening the intention to honor a promise, they had become a deceptive practice, a way of getting out of commitments without technically being dishonest. So as Jesus has a tendency to do, he raises the bar. He tells his listeners essentially, you know what? Don't even bother swearing an oath. And by the way, I know the games that are played with oaths and those loopholes that you love and you rely on. Instead of swearing an oath, just be honest. Whether you're saying yes or no, mean it. I don't always love the message interpretation of Scripture, but in this case, I think it adds a lot to our understanding. So I'm going to read the same passage from the Message. And don't say anything you don't mean. This counsel is embedded deep in our traditions. You only make things worse when you lay down a smokescreen of pious talk, saying, I'll pray for you, and never doing it, or saying, God be with you, and not meaning it. You don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace. In making your speech sound more religious, it becomes less true. Just say yes and no. When you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong. Now, I would venture to guess that most of us aren't out there making oaths in bad faith and justifying our behavior with these Jewish law technicalities. or making people promises, you know, and having our fingers secretly crossed behind our back. But that's not really what this teaching's about. Jesus is telling his followers that they need to live in such a way that their word is to be believed, whether an oath has been made or not. He's not just teaching about oaths. Jesus is teaching about the importance of honesty and integrity in our relationships. He's calling those who follow him not to play the manipulative games, but instead to be different, to be above that. Similar to Pastor Steve's reminder for us last week, that we're called, sorry, this microphone's a little ridiculous today, that we're called not only to settle for the least that we can do to get by in life, but instead live doing the most that we can do to get by. Jesus isn't just talking about oaths or promises. He's setting a standard of truthfulness for all of our words. When we think about it that way, who couldn't use more honesty or integrity or truthfulness in their life? What would our lives look like if we lived with the kind of truthfulness Christ is calling for here? Is it possible to switch to a handheld since this one's so crackly? Thanks, Daniel. All right. So I want to spend some time thinking about how it would change our relationships, our relationship with ourselves, our relationships with others, and our relationship with God. Because as people who are flawed and struggle with sin, we can be prone to dishonesty, whether it's dishonesty with ourselves, dishonesty with others, or dishonesty with God. You know, it's kind of funny that this passage and this idea of truthfulness comes at this time of the year, this time where there's all of this focus on New Year's resolutions. You know, new year, new you. We've all heard that. This time of year where we hear so much about gym memberships or diet plans or planners and organizers or financial management tools. Because as people, we love the possibilities that come with a fresh start. We've all had thoughts like, okay, this is finally going to be the year where I fill in the blank. And we start out really believing it, don't we? Because as people, we can be really good at self-deception. Now, this is not to say that being better stewards of our body or our money or our time is a bad thing. It's more that in our self-deception, we convince ourselves that not only will we attempt whatever new goal we have, but we'll finally be perfect at it. And then when the inevitable comes and we fail in some way, it feels like that's it. You know, we'll try again next year. 2020 will be my year. And we aren't honest with ourselves in the beginning when we try to live like we're going to be perfect. And we aren't honest with ourselves that we can try again when we fail. Honesty and integrity in our relationship with ourselves means owning our shortcomings and acknowledging that as much as we may not like it, we aren't perfect, but we are loved. Living with honesty in our relationship with ourselves means recognizing our limitations and allowing ourselves to have limitations. It's funny because we're called not to think too highly of ourselves, but we're also called not to think too poorly. We have a tendency to chase these New Year's resolutions or other accomplishments, tricking ourselves into thinking, okay, if I just get good at this one other thing, or if I just accomplish this one other thing, then I'll be more deserving of the love that I receive from the people around me, but especially from God. But that's more self-deception, and it's not what God wants for us. I know that self-awareness and honesty with ourselves is not easy. There are some things that we just don't want to face. And so to protect ourselves, we hide from the truth. But when we're honest with ourselves, it makes it easier to have an honest relationship with other people as well. What would truthfulness and honesty in our relationships with other people look like? Well, we can probably talk pretty easily about what it's not, because all of us have had times where we aren't really honest with other people. You know, we may make plans with someone and then use an exaggerated excuse to cancel. Or we might, like the Message translation said, tell someone, oh, I'll pray for you, and then not actually do it. Or perhaps we commit to something, but a better offer comes along, and so we decide to take that one instead. And all of us can think of someone in our life like that as well. Someone who we know that we have to take what they say with a grain of salt. Or someone who tells us that they'll show up for something, but we don't actually expect to see them there. We think of these people as not reliable and not really truthful. And when we figure that out, we treat them accordingly. And other people do the same for us. On some level, I think that we struggle with dishonesty because we feel guilty. We feel guilty about not being able to do everything, or not wanting to do everything, or not following through on everything. And we want to feel justified in our decision. And so we make up an excuse that convinces both the other person and ourselves. Living in the digital era that we do, with social media the way it is, also just adds to the temptation of dishonesty, doesn't it? When we make a post on Facebook, or for us younger people, Instagram or Snapchat for the really younger ones, it adds to this nice little highlight reel that we want people to see and believe about our life. We post about the beautiful romantic date we're on and leave off the part about how we fought on the way there. We post the family picture where everyone's smiling beautifully and, you know, it seems like the room is glowing, instead of the one where one person's rolling their eyes, another person's glaring at someone, and someone else is picking their nose. You know, we post a picture that's supposed to look like this perfect candid moment in our perfect candid life, when really it took about 17 tries to make it happen. Now, that's not to say that we need to air the dirty laundry of the fight that we had or the picture that's unflattering of someone that we're mad at. But I do think that we're called to find ways to inject honesty into our perfectly curated social media lives. And when we compare our less than perfect reality to someone else's highlight reel, we have to remember to take things for what they are. A moment ago, I mentioned flaky people that we encounter. On the flip side, all of us can probably also think of someone in our life who's incredibly reliable, who does have a life with a lot of honesty and filled with truthfulness. We know that when they tell us they're going to do something, it's going to get done. Or when they say that they're going to show up for something, we know that they'll be there. We know that there's someone to believe and be counted on. And that's the kind of person we all desire to be as well. We want other people to think of us as honest and trustworthy, as someone full of integrity. And that's appropriate, especially as followers of Christ. As disciples, we know that one of our tasks is to live in such a way that points others to Jesus. If we aren't honest about things like social plans or getting something done when we say we will, how will people believe us when we talk about what God has done in our life or how Jesus has changed our heart? If we can't be counted on to be honest about the little things, we're not going to be counted on to be honest about the things that really matter either. Now, that's not to say that God is telling you to go out there and, you know, be a jerk in the name of honesty and truth. But I do believe that as the church, as disciples of Jesus, we have a lot of room to grow in this area. Dishonesty is so prevalent in our culture that when we choose to pursue a life of truth and integrity, people will notice. And that's when we get to tell them that we aren't that way, that we don't have honesty and integrity just because we're that amazing. We get to tell them that we live a life filled with truth because we have encountered the way, the truth, and the life. And so that brings us to contemplating the way that dishonesty affects our relationship with God. A lot of the dishonesty that we embrace every day can seem fairly harmless, but when we're honest, a lot of it is also sin. Even if we think of it as just a little bit of sin, because sin, big or little, separates us from God. When we are cocooned in our life of self-deception, where we're not honest with God about our struggles or our choices or the sin in our life, we close ourselves off from what God has to offer. We know logically that God sees all and knows all, but there's also a part of us that lives like if we hide that one thing and bury it deep down far enough away, God won't really know. We like to try to convince ourselves that if we try hard enough, we'll be able to hide the really dark stuff from God, which logically, like I said, we know isn't the truth. But I do believe that's exactly how the enemy wants us to think. Because if we buy into that lie, we justify it by telling ourselves we're just closing ourselves off from God's judgment. We're protecting ourselves. But the reality is that we're closing ourselves off from God's forgiveness and healing. Satan wants us to live in that place of darkness and shame and condemnation. He doesn't want us to let the truth in. Because imagine how your life would look different if you laid down the truth that the world offers, where the world says, sometimes gone is too far gone, or you only get so many chances, and instead claimed the real truth that God offers. Because his truth, the real truth, is forgiveness. The truth is grace. The truth is unconditional love. So today, we've spent time considering the call to truthfulness that we share as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want you to hear this. My hope and the desire here is not to add any fuel to shame or condemnation or guilt that you've been carrying, but instead to invite you to hold up a mirror and let God show you where you have room to grow, where you have an opportunity for forgiveness, to invite God to encourage us as only he can, and to let the Spirit do the holy work of convicting where needed. And believe me when I say I am preaching to myself today, most of all. I've learned a lot about honesty and truthfulness over these past few months being a mom. For those of you that don't know, we had 4 kids move in with us at the end of August. And so they're younger. They're between ages 9 and 2. And I've learned how far I have to grow in honesty and truthfulness. Because let me tell you, kids can be the best accountability when it comes to this stuff, can't they? You know, I can't even begin to count the number of times that I've heard, Mom, you said that we do this in our family, but we actually do this. Like, Mom, you say that we keep our rooms clean in our family, but yours and Dad's room looks kind of messy. You know, talk about God holding up a mirror for self-reflection. Because I have room to grow in this, just like all of us do. And as hard as it is, I want to grow. I want to do the work. I want to be someone who others see as a reliable source for truth. Someone who means what I say. The Sermon on the Mount is a lot of Jesus teaching us the truth about healthy, godly relationships. We read a lot of, you have heard it said, followed by, but I tell you, where Jesus is teaching us to look past the letter of the law and live in the spirit of it. In today's passage, to go beyond the desire to make promises and do the hard work of keeping them. I understand completely people making New Year's resolutions. I understand wanting a clean slate or a fresh start. It's something that everyone desires at some point. But where the world gets it wrong is that we don't have to wait until January 1st every year to have that. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and at the empty tomb, we're given a fresh start any day, any given moment.
So regardless of what your relationship with honest or truthful words has been up until this very minute, it's not too late. Even though it's January 6th and not January 1st, you still have the opportunity to change and grow and be different. Because we know the blood of Christ is stronger than the turning of a calendar or the change of a year. We're not expected to be able to be honest and truthful on our own, but we are called to live as people who have been filled with the capital T truth. So friends, this morning, and as we go from here and go about our week, may we rely on the strength of Jesus to live as people of integrity, honesty, and truth. Being honest about our shortfalls and claiming the forgiveness of Christ when we stumble, and trusting God to manage the rest. Amen.